Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Coors Light Basketball Coaches Show, presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now, live from Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon, here is your host, Brian Roth.
All right, a very good Thursday evening, and can you believe it? This is the final Coors Light Coaches Show of the season as we sit here on March 1st. Great to see everybody with us here tonight, and a big hello to everybody listening on terrestrial radio as well. Brian Roth and Ryan Williams with you, the Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show. We'll talk women's basketball for the first 30 minutes of the program, and then we will talk some Colorado State men's basketball with Jace Hurl in the back half of the program. Sir, how are you? Regular season's over. It sounds strange to say, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's over, and it was a good stretch. It goes fast. It goes fast, and it's hard to believe that this is our last show, and our last show, and maybe one of our better turnouts. This is what a great crew we've got here tonight. So this crew on to my left, I don't know, a little shaky, but these fans have been so good all year in Moby Arena, but also here at Lucky Joe's. Just know we appreciate you, and thanks for being here every Monday and Thursday night. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. And if you're in Fort Collins down in Old Town, come on down, catch at least some of the radio show here tonight, and then you can stick around for some great live music as well as you can each and every Thursday night here. And also have the Irish meatloaf on tap here tonight, which I know is what I'm going to be getting as well. All right, well, again, regular season's done. The Colorado State women finish up at 19-10, 11-7 in the conference, and they'll get the number 5 seed going into the Mountain West Conference tournament next week, where they'll take on Fresno. The significance of the number 5 seed, of course, you keep yourself out of that first play-in day on Monday, so you guys were able to get that accomplished. But hit the rewind button a little bit, and let's go back to Saturday. You guys had Nevada in your place, and it was senior day, and senior day is always a big day. You guys said goodbye to 3 seniors there at Moby Arena, and you did it on a high note to knock off Nevada 75-64. I know that's always big when you can send those kids, those seniors that have meant so much to the program, send them out on a high note in their final time at Moby
Arena. Those three have been really, really good for our program. They've won a lot of basketball games. They've won, you know, 3 championships. So they've been a part of this nice climb of Colorado State women's basketball. And to play so well on senior day. Senior days can be really tough. They're tough days. You know, your family's flying in from Sweden and Norway and Seward, Nebraska. And there's just a lot of emotion. And, of course, you want to play well. But sometimes that emotion can override positive play. But our kids right from the get-go were special, led by those 3 seniors, and it might have been, you guys, our best home performance of the year. It really might have been. And as far as just good execution, both offensively and defensively, playing with great intensity and just good, making the right basketball play, it was a beautiful game. And then to wrap it up with, you know, giving those seniors a sub at the end, and they get to come off to a standing ovation by our great Moby crowd. Those kids will always remember that game, but also that special moment when they left Moby for the last time.
Well, and that doesn't always happen on a senior night. Even if you win the game, it could be a tight game down the stretch where obviously you need all hands on deck, or it could be a game in which you don't end up winning. But when you do have the game in hand and to be able to give those kids that recognition, I know it's fun. I was watching the video of that on CSURams.com. It's fun for the kids. It's great for the kids. I know it's kind of great for the coaches as well. You guys kind of get that final on-court goodbye to those 3. And by the way, the 3 seniors, Hannah Taverty, Stina Oskulin, and Veronica Mirkovic. Of course, Taverty from Seward, Nebraska, Oskulin from Norway, and Mirkovic from Sweden. But, I mean, to say that goodbye on the court, I know it's special.
Yeah, it is. It's always special. Just because you know how much effort those kids put into getting themselves out there, and especially a young lady like Stina. You know, Stina has battled so many injuries throughout her career, and for her to it was so funny. It's not funny, but it's so fitting. In the hallway, pacing before the game, and Mayan slowly running, okay, down the hallway. I said, where are you going so fast? And she says, I need Annie. I need Annie. I said, is somebody hurt? And she says, it's Stina. And Stina hurt her thumb again in warm-ups, of all things. I said, that's great. That's great. You know, to have a senior day and to have an injury by Stina is only fitting. And Stina had a really good basketball game. She's been such a warrior for us. And Taverdi was a rock star, had a really good scoring game. And she's logged a lot of minutes. And Veronica, really a good player for us. And so, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to say goodbye to those kids. But like I told them, I think their best moment is in front of them. I really do. These kids, they just keep getting better. And like I told them after that New Mexico game, you guys, I know we had a – our Wednesday, our last two Wednesdays have been tough. You know, a really tough loss at Boise when we played good basketball. Got to make a few more shots. Same thing against New Mexico.
Right.
But our kids just keep getting better. It seems like the execution is better every game. Defensively, we seem to be getting better every single game. And then that's the time of the year to do it. And I think we feel good about where we're at heading into to Vegas, led by our seniors. I mean, they've kept this group just climbing forward. Some of the steps have been a little shorter than others, but we've always kept progressing. And I think we're in a good place heading into Las Vegas.
Yeah, you mentioned the New Mexico game, the regular season finale on Tuesday down there at the Pit in Albuquerque, and 54-48 as the Lobos would get the victory over the Rams. You guys split that season series with New Mexico, who, again, I know is a team that you feel is very, very talented. Looking at the box score of that game, you guys had 18 points in the first period and looked like you guys were going pretty good, and then just 30 points in the final three periods.
Yeah.
Did they do something different, or the shots just weren't falling?
Well,
or?
Both. I mean, we had some really good looks, and didn't we, Kincaid? I mean, we had some really nice looks at the basket and didn't shoot the ball as well. You know, Annie Brady had a tough scoring night. She went 2 of 15 from the floor, but played so aggressive and had 16 boards. And it was just, again, we've lost, of our 10 losses, six of them have been by two possessions or less, all right? And then one of those, all right, has been an overtime. So seven of our 10 have either been two possessions or less or an overtime game. So we play close games, and it just comes down to some shot making here or there, and we're probably looking at a little different record. But it was New Mexico, they're athletic. They put some quickness out there, probably quicker than us at four of the five spots, and maybe a little disruption. We turned the ball over 17 times, Brian, and that's too many. And that's how good a defense we played. We gave them seven or eight extra possessions and still had them to 54 points. We just got to value the basketball. And when we played really good this year and we had that nice stretch where we won six in a row, our turnovers were really low. And what I mean by low, like 10, 11 or less. That's kind of our magic number that we write on the board before every game. And that's been a big part of our formula. And again, we gifted them too many possessions, but really battled and put ourselves in a position to get a nice road win, but just didn't get it done. It was their senior day, big crowd in the pit, so they played with a lot of emotion, and it felt like a tournament environment. And so we kind of challenged our kids with that before the game. You're going to face adversity. You're going to face 5,000 people that don't like you. And let's face it, all 5,000 of those people that were in the pit or the Dream Style Arena, whatever they call
it's the pit. Yeah, we call it the pit.
Okay. They're going to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, they travel like crazy to Vegas. So if you play New Mexico in the tournament, you're going to play against this type of adversity. So to handle it as well as we did and to never really get rattled, I think that was a step forward for our kids as well.
Yeah, the New Mexico men's team making a late season run as well, and that will also help the New Mexico crowd down there. And they always get good crowds on the women's side and the men's side for New Mexico. You know, you look at that. You talked about that six-game win streak. You guess you keep the turnovers down. Your shooting percentage goes up. Because let's face it. I mean, this year for you guys, defense has been the one constant for you. I mean, again, you hold New Mexico to 54 on Tuesday and lose. You talked about the Boise State game a week and a half ago. hold them to 55 and not able to get the win. So the defense is kind of one of those things I imagine you have a pretty good feeling will be there in Vegas next week.
Yeah, we do. We feel like every single game they're going to – what these kids have done a tremendous job at doing is they perform a scout. You know, our coaches work hard to put together a plan. Here's the best way to stop this team. And they really do perform it well. And so the way they concentrate and then the effort that they put behind that concentration and the purpose behind a defensive performance, we do trust, Brian, that that's going to be there every night. But this team, and it's just this team, you guys, it's just we've been inconsistent, and that's just kind of how it is. Our shot making has been a little bit up and down. We maybe don't finish as well as at the rim as you would like, but that's us. But at the end of the day, they find a way to put themselves in a position to win every single night, and that is a huge, huge compliment to a basketball team. And I think we're going to do that in Vegas. We know we'll have three tough matchups, but there's not one matchup that we can't win. There's just not. And I think our whole league probably feels that way. I mean, look at Air Force beating Wyoming the other night. Look at Nevada, who we played really well against. They took it to UNLV. I mean, took it to them. And UNLV's got major league talent, and it's playing for a number one seed. And so Vegas is going to be fun. I think every team is going to feel like they can beat anybody on any given night. I think there's going to be a lot of close games. So it should be fun, and hopefully we can catch that tournament wave and rally off three in a row here.
Right. I mean, we talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago about this tournament for you guys will have a little bit different of a feel because you guys have been the team to beat in each of the last four seasons. Not only did you win the conference, you're a team that's flirted with national rankings, team that has been to the NCAA tournament. You've been the team to beat, but that's not going to be the case this year. And I know I asked you this last week, but this is something where maybe you guys go in with more of a freewheeling attitude saying, hey, why not us?
Yeah, and that's in those 4 years where we won it, we still kind of – we tried to preach that attitude. We have nothing to lose, you know. Whatever, coach. I mean, they know we only got one way through this tournament. We might have won the league, but there's only one way to get to March Madness, and that's to win the Mount West Conference tournament. But going in this year, you're right. We talked about that with our kids today. We're going to be an underdog in every game you play, most likely. And so we're going to take that Philadelphia Eagles approach. It seemed to work for them. I'm going to get everybody a dog mask and hope they don't get offended by it. But you know, we're going to go in with that. Two things. It's going to be very purposeful, and the intent has to be that of we have to really, really compete. But also you've got to have that free mind, all right, and play with that freedom. And I don't want to say carefree. You know, there's that fine line. You don't want to be too loose. But I think we need to find that and find it early. And when you do and you catch that wave, like I said, you got to ride it. And we got to go in. I think we are going in feeling really good about how we're playing. Even though we didn't play or win in at New Mexico the other night, we played with a looseness. You know, the shots that we missed, we took them with great confidence. And we missed them. You know, it was, give me the next one. I want the next one. And it was never one of, we never hung our heads or we never, you know, sulked or we never got frustrated. We just kept fighting and fighting. And that's what you got to do. To win a Mount West Conference tournament.
Yeah, again, the top three seeds in the tournament coming up next week, and none of that have been decided. Going into the final weekend of the regular season on the women's side, you have Wyoming, who just lost again to Air Force, a team that was winless for a majority of the season, who obviously proved to be better than that record. You have UNLV, and then you have Boise State, who just may be the favorite going in, no matter what seed they have. And they've won five, six straight games now, and that was a struggle early this season for Boise State. Now they look like they're playing their best basketball of the season.
They're playing well, and we had a really, you know, a tough battle with them as well as they're playing. You know, we had a chance to beat them last Wednesday, but
in their place,
at their place. Yep. So I just think it's, you know, those three teams are going to battle it out for that conference championship. You know, Wyoming beats Boise. If they beat Boise on tomorrow night, they get the tiebreaker, and so. It'll be interesting who gets that one seed. We know who we're playing in that 4-5 game, but then, you know, we'll find out who we're going to play after we beat Fresno in that one matchup.
Yeah, I like your style, Ryan. All right, we'll talk about the Mountain West Conference tournament coming up more in depth. But first, a timeout. Stay with us here tonight. We're at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon, the final Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show here of the season. Back after this from Learfield. All right, welcome back. Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon here on a Thursday night, the final Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show here this evening. A jam-packed house tonight. Why not talk a little Colorado State basketball? Great Irish music coming up as well here on a Thursday. Get down to Lucky Joe's. We're in Old Town Fort Collins. All right, talking some Colorado State women's basketball with women's head coach Ryan Williams. The Rams have wrapped up the season, 19 regular season wins, and they got the number 5 seed in the Mountain West Conference tournament. And they will take on the number 4 seed, Fresno State. That'll be Tuesday at 3:30 Mountain Time, Tuesday afternoon, 2:30 down there in Vegas. And Ryan, let's talk about the matchup with Fresno State. And well, it's a Fresno team that got you twice here this year. They beat you in Fresno on January 6th and then beat you here in Moby Arena on February the 17th.
Yeah, our kids, you could tell today they were, you know, we kind of slowly went through the game film of when Fresno beat us here in overtime and just kind of the opportunities that we missed, both offensively and defensively. You know, we've held them in the 50s the two times we played them in the regulation, and we've got to score the ball better. But they do have a big-time point guard in Candace White, and you know, she's the real deal. She's a big shot maker. She's a really competitive young lady, and we're going to have to do a better job on her, especially in the last 2 minutes of a game. You know, whether we really try to go get the ball out of her hands and trap her a little bit or what have we, we've got to have a little better plan of stopping her when the game is on the line, because she's beaten us twice, you know, when that game's been on the line.
Yeah, and Candace White, leading scorer in the Mountain West Conference on the season, had 29 points, 9 rebounds in the overtime game at Fort Collins in February. Went for 24 points, 12 rebounds in the game in Fresno. Is she the best player in the league?
She's the best player. I mean, she is. You know, she's a combo guard. You know, the ball's in her hands a lot. So I think those kids that make a lot of decisions for their teams have more responsibility. And when they perform well, that means more to me. And so she's done it rebounding the ball. She's scored the ball. She shoots at a really high percentage. It's not like she takes a lot of shots, Brian.
Right.
It's not like she's scoring 29 and shooting 20 times. It's not that. She shoots at a really high percentage. She's a 94%+ free throw shooter. I think she's missed 2 or 3 on the year is all. So, and then defensively, she's just got a strong body and plays smart. And I like her. You know, you prepare for her on film, and yeah, you're pulling your hair out trying to figure out a way to stop this kid. But at the same time, you're like, that's a really good basketball player. And it's going to be fun to try to stop her. And I respect how that young lady plays, and they do a good job putting her in situations where she can be successful, and we're going to have to just out-compete them.
Yeah, looking at the two box scores from the season series with Fresno State, it looks like they got you pretty good on the boards in each of those contests. How do you kind of make up that gap coming up on Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll probably change our two things. We shot a lot of three-pointers the first time we played them. We shot 27, and the second time we shot even more. We shot 33 three-pointers. And so we really spread the floor. We'll have some kids in a little better rebounding position this time around, the way we're going to attack it. So just a little different game plan and how we align our kids, and probably our personnel will be a little different. You know, we don't want to give all our secrets out tonight, but it'll shock you. You know, it'll really surprise you. But we'll do some things to secure the rebounding, and I think we'll get the ball in baby spots where we can score it in maybe higher percentage shooting positions. That's all I'm giving you tonight, folks, okay? But it's going to be a good plan. I trust me. Okay.
we'll meet next week and do another radio show if that plan goes awry.
This was our last.
Well, it is.
I'm tired of you.
I know. What are you looking most forward to? The tournament or the fact that you don't have to see my face on a weekly basis?
That one, yeah.
I know. I already knew that. You guys may be a little shorthanded going into Vegas next week. Leah Davis. Coming a little bit up with an injury.
Yeah, Leah was playing really well the middle to latter part of the conference season, and she was a part of our plan every single game, especially when we play, you know, the bigger, stronger teams, say like a Nevada, a Las Vegas, a Wyoming. You know, she can give us a spark there. And then even New Mexico, you know, they've got that Jace Nunn that's just an incredible post player and a really strong athletic built. So, you know, Leah went, we got her back from that knee injury, and we just slowly worked her back in, and as she goes down her first 30 seconds, she's in the game against New Mexico and kind of re-aggravated that knee, and it looks like a balloon today. It's really swollen, and so don't know. I don't know her status for Vegas. Right. It'll be hard to get any practices in before Vegas, but that's a tough loss because Leah, again, she's strong, she's got size, and she's a really gifted scorer down in that pro post when those teams allow us to play that way. So we'll miss that, no doubt about it.
All right, final thought before we let you go. Again, your regular season is over. The rest of the Mountain West Conference is playing on Saturday. That's good for you guys, good for the men's team. You can get a little bit of rest going into Las Vegas. But what's the travel for you guys like? What's the schedule heading into the conference tournament?
Yeah, you know, we went hard today, and we're slowly put our plan in, and then we'll go tomorrow real hard, and then we'll take Saturday off and kind of recoup and enjoy a Saturday without a basketball game, and then we'll convene Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll have a good 2-hour practice, and then we'll load the bus to fly to DIA, and we'll land in Vegas about 3 o'clock and settle into the hotel and get ready to play. But you know, something different this year for the five teams that get a bye is that we've never been able to get on the Thomas and Mack floor to practice prior to your first game. But that has since changed. I complained enough where we got a vote. So now we, you know, those top five teams get a practice on Monday morning on Thomas and Mack. And so I think that'll be helpful. And we'll get a good 50-minute practice on Monday, prepare for Fresno, and tip it off Tuesday. So there's our itinerary, folks. All right? I'm not going to give you my room number, okay, unless you're going to send a bottle of wine or – all right? So,
or a bag full of cash.
Hey, don't go there. Don't go there. And this really, you're going there.
No, for you, so you can go hit the slot machines.
I thought you were going that whole NCAA men's side thing.
No.
I mean,
only on the men's side. Yeah, that's not the good guys on the women's side.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, congratulations on the season. I mean, 19 wins in a year where you lost the great class of last season. To come back with 19 wins, I think says something about where this program is. And listen, this thing is up in the air, and I know you guys have an opportunity
really
to go and make that run. And thank you for putting up with me the entire season.
Hey, you're a rock star. You're a rock star. I mean, it's been fun sitting by your side, you know, for the radio shows. And I just want to say I'm really proud of our basketball team this year, you guys. I am. I'm really proud of our ladies. And I know, you know, everybody – I mean – yeah, we were hoping for that fifth championship in a row or what have you. But this team has done a tremendous job. We've lost some close games, but they played good basketball. They've stayed together. They've guarded their tails off. And they kept fighting the fight and climbing and getting better every day. And as a coach, that's all you can ask for. So we've gotten a lot of mileage out of these kids. But, again, I do believe their best moment is ahead of them, and that's exciting. So let's go have some fun in Vegas, all right?
All right, go get the tournament championship.
All right, let's do it.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Williams, women's basketball coach, who, of course, is the all-time winningest coach in women's basketball history. Got to get that one in one more time. surpass Tom Cullen. Again, Tuesday, 3:30 Mountain Time against Fresno State. You can hear that game on a lot of these stations across the Colorado State Sports Network. All right, we're back. The final 30 minutes of the program to talk men's hoops with Jay Searle. We'll be back after this to Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. We're in Fort Collins on the Colorado State Sports Network from Lear. Welcome back to the Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show. We're live at Lucky Joe's here on Thursday nights. Final show of the season, and time to talk some men's basketball with interim head coach Jay Searle. Jay, good to see you. And as I was telling Ryan, it's kind of weird. This season is over for the regular season. And you know, even with the tumultuous last month of Colorado State men's basketball, I mean, these seasons always tend to go fast, don't they? All of a sudden, boom, the end of the season is upon us.
Yeah, especially the conference season. Once you get to conference and everything gets rolling a little bit, before you know it, it's, you know, you get those bye weeks in there, and then next thing you know, you're talking about the conference tournament and what you can do to compete in that.
Yeah, Colorado State will be in the conference tournament coming up next week. They'll play Wednesday at 2:30 Mountain Time. Not sure who the opponent is, but we do know it's going to be one of two teams. It'll be UNLV or Utah State next Wednesday. And coincidentally, those two teams play each other on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So the winner is going to get that, the number 7 seed, right?
Yep.
And the loser will get the number 8 seed. So you're going to get the winner of the Utah State UNLV game. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment, but hit the rewind button a little bit, and let's go back to Sunday. You guys were on the road at Nevada. Nevada, of course, nationally ranked. They're going to be a 5 or 6 seed, we believe, in the NCAA tournament. They are the conference champions. And you guys would lose 92-83, but I got to tell you, I was impressed the way you guys went out there in front of near 11,000 fans and went toe-to-toe with the nationally ranked team.
Yeah, that seems like it was 2 or 3 weeks ago with everything that's happened since then. But,
right.
You know, I thought the guys stepped on the floor, thought they went out there for 40 minutes thinking we were going to be able to compete and win the game. And, you know, we took their runs, you know, one by one and kind of answered them here and there and never gave up. And, you know, went 7 deep, I believe it was, maybe 8.
No, but, 7 deep in that game, yeah.
Guys competed. You know, they executed what we asked them to execute, and at the end of the day, Nevada made a couple more plays down the stretch on their home floor. And we were really proud of the guys.
Yeah, and that's a Nevada team that is nearly unbeatable on their home court there at the Lavalier Event Center. Had only lost one game all season long, and that one loss on their home court, I believe they didn't have Caleb Martin.
Correct.
In that contest.
Against UNLV.
UNLV. So nobody had gone in there and beaten Nevada full strength. You guys nearly did it. I mean, Jason, I mean, that's a 2-point game with 7 minutes to go. I think Nixon hit a 3,
yep.
68-66. That whole building was worried, but Nevada, as good teams do, they would answer with a 10-0 run. And, again, you guys were playing catch-up the rest of the way. Prentice Nixon, though, goes for 27 points in that game. And, it was
10 rebounds.
And 10 rebounds, yes, as well. Yes. That's a good point. It's good to see Prentice back scoring the basketball, and he had 27 last night too, because he clearly the first 3-4 games following that, coming back from the injury,
yep,
wasn't himself, but it's good to see him scoring again.
Yeah, he's got more pop in his game now. He's jumping up, shooting the ball with confidence, and he's back to taking the charges, doing all the little things. And you know, he's still not 100% healthy, and he probably won't be the rest of the year, but he's as good as he's been since he's had the injury. And hopefully with these couple days off mixed in that we're taking within the practices before we play again Wednesday, you know, that'll help him get even closer to being healthy.
Yeah, I was about ready to say that it's good to have him kind of back on track going into the Mountain West Conference tournament, because let's face it, if you guys are going to make a run, you need your leading scorer leading you in scoring.
Yeah, no question. We need Prentice to he's going to be at the top of everybody's scout. He's going to be getting everybody's attention. So, you know, we ask a lot of him. You know, we ask him to score. You know, the last couple games he's rebounded better. You know, we need him to play make and do those things. And, you know, when you're that guy on the scout, you got to be able to do those things. And they don't care if you're healthy or not. The other team doesn't. So it was good to see him getting back in the groove of being able to do those things.
Yeah, a couple more performances from Sunday in the loss at nationally ranked Nevada. Anthony Bonner, 19 points, only took 8 shots, yep, to get to the 19 points. We talked about this in your office before the game last night, that Anthony Bonner, I mean, we have seen progression and development out of a lot of your players. But Anthony, right up there at the top of the list of guys who seem to have had that proverbial light bulb go off.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony's offensive skill set, I mean, he's a two-way player, and he does a good job on the defensive end, but his offensive skill set is as good as anybody's on the team. I mean, he's He can shoot the three. He can hit the mid-range. He gets to the rim, and he can play make. And, you know, his whole thing's confidence and playing with confidence and going out there and playing free. And, you know, and it's good to see him start clicking like that and be as efficient as he has been, because that's, you know, that's what we've seen and that's what he's capable of doing. You know, it's just that next step is being able to carry that over. You know, when you start moving up that list on the other team's scout, like we talk about with Prentice, him carrying that over and being able to do it when the other team's expecting him to do it and they're trying to limit his touches, limit his scoring, and those type of things.
Yeah, you know, I remember watching Bonner last year and really early part of this year, and you watch him shoot, and he probably has the prettiest shot out of anybody on the team, and so fundamentally sound at that shot. Didn't seem like he had confidence, but, man, he got that confidence this year. And you look at what he's done in conference play. Jace, he's shooting over 50% from three from beyond the arc in conference play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes him such a tough cover, because you got to honor him. You got to honor him out there at the three. And, you know, when he ball fakes and he gets in the paint, you know, he's a really good finisher, and he's an extremely good free throw shooter. So he's a tough cover on that end of the floor.
And then one other performance from that game on Sunday, Nico Carvacho, 13 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, Nico.
No turnovers.
And no turnovers. Yep. I think he had 4 or 5 assists last night against New Mexico. I mean, he has proven to be an all-around big man, one of the best in the Mountain West.
Yeah, he's another guy that his confidence keeps growing, but that comes from him getting in the gym and putting in the work on his own. And, you know, he's got as good a skill set for his size as anybody in the league, and that'll continue to grow as his confidence continues to grow.
All right, final thought from that Nevada game before we take a timeout here at Lucky Joe's tonight, CSU Basketball Coaches Show. Caleb Martin, again, the Martin twins really spearhead that offense and really defense for Nevada, but Caleb Martin's their leading scorer. I think he's going to be the conference player of the year. Had 25 points against you. Big shots down the stretch. You look at the first meeting against you guys. He had 26 with big shots down the stretch. Is he, in your mind, the best player in the Mountain West Conference, or maybe does that go to Chandler Hutchinson or perhaps Brandon McCoy of UNLV? Who do you like?
You know, in our staff's opinion, Caleb Martin's a player of the year. That's what we talked about today when we put together our ballot moving forward, just because he brings so much to him. And at the end of the day, when the game breaks down, he's going to go make a play, whether that's for himself or somebody else. And, you know, like we talk about Anthony, he's 6'6", 6'7", and he's scoring at all three levels. So he's an extremely tough cover, and they do a good job of putting him in the right spots to be successful.
And defensively for the Martin twins, again, they both go 6'7", 205, long. They play their tails off, and they're really, really smart. And defensively, I mean, I don't know. I think they could be the two of the best perimeter defenders in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, I mean, they're both long, athletic. Cody, I think, is very underrated. Ever since Lindsey Drew went out, he stepped into that point guard spot, and he's putting up the points, rebounds, assists, blocks. I mean, you know, talk about another guy that we voted for all defensive team was Cody, and but he's just really stepped up in Lindsey Drew's absence and is really showing how good a player he is.
All right, we'll take a timeout. More to come tonight on the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show. We are live at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. We'll be back after this on the Colorado State Sports Network from Lear. All right, a couple more segments left here tonight. We bring you back inside Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon. We're in Old Town Fort Collins. Brian Roth and Jace Earl, interim head coach for the Colorado State men's basketball team, joining you. Great to have everybody aboard with us here tonight. The coach show tonight brought to you by UC Health, with more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system in the region. The game changers in medicine are at UC Health. All right, regular season finale last night at home against New Mexico. And Lobos would come in and get the victory, but it was senior night for Colorado State. And, of course, Jace, just the one senior here this season. And that's Che Bob, and Che's a junior college transfer from a couple years ago, had last year and this year at Colorado State. And he's a kid that you have a lot of history with, a relationship with him dating back to high school, right?
Yep, knew about him then. Coached him in junior college at South Plains, recruited him there, recruited him when he got here. Came a long ways as a kid.
Right.
You know, obviously had his ups and downs since he's been at Colorado State, but you know, Che's learned from him. He's battled through him. The fact that he's just made it as far as he is, he's, you know, 18 hours from graduating. He's in 12 right now, so he's right on that borderline, should be able to finish things up this summer. You know, says a lot to his determination and, you know, to keep battling through. And, Couldn't be more proud of him, and it's a kid that'll be the first kid in his family to get a college degree.
Right, and I know his childhood, there was a lot of moving around, never really that stable, but I imagine you and Che are going to keep up with one another as life goes on.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we talk every day. I mean, Fort Collins, he feels like, is a place that he can call home, which he hadn't had a lot of that in his life, moving back and forth between the Bronx and Charlotte. So, you know, it's a place that he feels like's welcomed him with open arms, and that he feels, you know, comfortable here, safe here. So I know it's a place he'll come back to often. But, you know, as far as our relationship goes, it's, you know, like just like any relationship, there's been ups and downs. I've been frustrated with him. He's been frustrated with me. But, you know, at the end of the day, you care about a kid like that. And when you take a step back and you see how far he's came since you first met him, it's, you know, it brings a tear to your eye thinking about that.
Right. Again, a kid who's definitely going to go on to graduate and get out there in the real world. Yep. Like the rest of us. Last night, obviously against New Mexico, that was not the first half you guys were looking for. I thought the energy in the second half was a lot better. What was the halftime speech when you go in and you're down by that amount of points?
I mean, there's, you know, when you give up 58 points in the first half, and I think they were 15 to 16 from two or 16 to 17 from two. I mean, you got to take a look in the mirror. You got, you know, we talked to them about, you know, being able to handle adversity, and there's going to be times in their life where, you know, things aren't going to go your way. And it's been that way the last month. I mean, nobody came here expecting the situation they were going to be in, but, you know, we talked about handling adversity, you know, whether that's, you know, in their job, in their home life, in their marriage, with their kids, you know, every day waking up, you know, having a new lease on life, you know, attacking that day and trying to be positive and not sitting there thinking about, poor me, why am I in this situation? But, you know, how can I make this situation better for myself and those people around me? And it had nothing to do with basketball at that point. It had everything to do with what we had inside our head and inside our hearts.
Yeah, again, Colorado State, better energy in the second half. In the end, though, too big of a hole to climb out of as New Mexico would get that win. You know, we talked about Prentice Nixon going for 27 points again last night. And, you know, the 27 at Nevada took 24 shots. Mm-hmm. He had 27 last night, and what, he had 13,
yep,
maybe 14 shots?
13, 14, yeah. Got to the line, I think, 10, 11, 12 times, and that's what we need Prentice to do, because then he affects the game in a different way, because then he's getting them in foul trouble, you know. So, you know, if we can put 40 minutes, that's what we talked about these guys, is putting 40 minutes together. You know, you put yourself, our last four games have been against the top four teams in the league. Yep. So any type of hole you put yourself in early, your margin of error is so small, you know, that's going to be tough to come back. So just getting off to better starts and competing for 40 minutes, like I thought we did against Nevada. And now sometimes you may not get the result that you like, you know, but you can hold your head up and be proud of your effort, you know, and your energy that you brought that particular day.
All right, so it's on to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We mentioned the Colorado State men will get the number 10 seed in the tournament, and they'll face either Utah State or UNLV. That game will be Wednesday at 2:30 in the afternoon. That's Mountain Time, 1:30 Pacific, from the Thomas and Mack Center down in Las Vegas. All right, one final timeout tonight. We'll bring it back. We'll wrap it up following this. It's the Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show right here from Learfield. All right, back one final time here at Lucky Joe's tonight on the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show. Talking some men's hoops here with Jace Earle. Hey, Ram fans, don't forget you can wear what the Rams wear. Purchase official Under Armour sideline apparel at both the Rams Zone locations. One right here in Old Town Fort Collins, the other at the CSU Stadium store. Or, of course, you can always go online to csurams.com to purchase your Under Armour sideline apparel. All right, let's look ahead. Mountain West Conference Tournament, it is here. Coming up next week, again, the Rams number 10 seed. They'll get either UNLV or Utah State at 2:30 Mountain Time from the Thomas and Mack Center. I guess first things first, any preferences between those two teams?
I mean, we've played both teams once. You know, we haven't been to UNLV this year, so it'll be a new trip for some of these guys. But, you know, it's whether who we play, it's going to be more about how we play, I think. So not necessarily a preference one way or the other.
Yeah, how about those new guys that have never been to Thomas and Mack? And a lot of these guys haven't been in a conference tournament setting either, because it certainly has a different feel than the regular season.
Yeah, I know, it takes on a different, you know, different life of itself. But, you know, you just got to come in there and concentrate on what we're trying to do. And, you know, try to execute our game plan the best way we can, and you know, try to block out some of the other distractions and the stuff that's going on around us. And you know, historically, Colorado State has done well in the conference tournament. Hopefully, we can, you know, we can keep that thing moving in the right direction.
All right. Well, let's break down each of the two opponents that you may see. And again, Utah State, UNLV, they're going to play coming up on Saturday. That game's in Logan, Utah. The winner will get the Rams as the number 7 seed. And you mentioned we've only played each of these two teams once.
Right.
These are the only two teams in the conference that you've only played once. You've gone round robin with everybody else. You beat Utah State in Logan back on January the 10th, 84-75, in one of the more complete games by your ball club.
Yeah, I thought we did a really good job of holding their guards in check. They got two of the best guards in the league in McEwen and Merrill, and, you know, we really kept them in check, and, you know, we just kept kind of extending the lead, and we made the right plays down the stretch and, you know, did what we needed to do to close out games, which we hadn't necessarily done throughout the year, you know, after that.
Yeah, you talked about the two guards. It did a good job on those two guards last year in each of those two games. And again, Sam Merrill, Kobe McEwen, both very, very talented. I mean, they kind of are the guys that make Utah State go. How have you guys been so successful against those two when, in reality, a lot of the rest of the league has not been that successful against them?
We've really tried to use our athleticism and our length of our guards and get up under them and pressure them a little bit. And they're still good players, and they're gonna, you know, they're gonna make plays. I mean, either one of them could have been freshman of the year last year, you know, and they're on the same team. So, you know, we try to pressure those guys, try to get them out of their rhythm, out of their stuff a little bit, and you know, we've had some good success doing that.
All right, then UNLV, you guys got the Running Rebels at home. It was on January the 20th. UNLV got the 79-74 win, and I guess the thing that I remember about that game, you guys seemingly were in control up 9 with 3.5 minutes to go, and they closed the game on a 14-0 run.
Yeah, we just, you know, we didn't execute down the stretch, obviously, but we didn't get good shots down the stretch, and we got a little stagnant, and, you know, our bad shots led to their runouts. You know, I mean, they, like I said, scoring 14 points in, what, 3.5 minutes. I mean, that's, you know, that's something we got to be aware of, and just taking better shots to end the possession so we can have floor balance and things like that going forward, because they do want to play so fast.
Right, and that's certainly what they like to do. I mean, they are the Running Rebels after all. But hey, listen, I mean, you beat Utah State and Logan. You're up 9 with 3 minutes to go at home against UNLV. You guys can go in there and beat either one of these two teams, Jace.
Yeah, no question. I mean, like we said, it's gonna be more about us than it is about them.
Right.
If we can execute the game plan that we put forward, and we'll have a week going into it, you know, to talk about it. We're going to work on things with us here these next couple of days, and then we'll really start locking in when we find out who we get to play Saturday evening.
All right, Jace, I know I'll see you down in Las Vegas, but I wanted to say thank you for guiding the Rams program over the last month. You've done yeoman's work. And how about a round of applause for Jace Hurl?
Hey, from our staff and from our guys, we want to thank all the fans through the support from everything that's been going on. So thank you, guys.
All right, and a big thank you to everybody out here for showing up all season long. We appreciate it. Final show of the year, and thank you to Joe Vader and Lucky Joe. So long, everybody, on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.